From the feature staff at the Columbus Dispatch, this is Life in the 614. Hi, and welcome to Life in the 614, the official lifestyle podcast of the Features Department at the Columbus Dispatch, coming to you every Thursday. If it sounds like fun, we'll be talking about it. I'm Ryan Smith, Assistant Features Editor at the Dispatch, and I'm joined in studio today by my colleague, Dispatch Business Editor Jim Weicker. You've probably noticed already that we're mixing things up a little bit this week. After all, it's not Thursday. Well, Jim and I were actually feeling a little constrained by the one podcast per week format of this series, just too much going on to talk about. So we decided to tear down some walls and add on an addition with a second episode. Trust me, it's going to be great. To help, we've called on, who else? Kevin O'Connor, host of This Old House on PBS. We're hoping his skills aren't limited to home improvement. It just so happens, though, that he'll be appearing September 9th at the Columbus Dispatch Fall Home and Garden Show held at the Ohio Expo Center, which runs September 7th through 9th. Hi, Kevin. Thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure to be here. I appreciate the invite.
So my first question has to be, how do I get you to fix up the 1890s farmhouse that I just bought? I'm new to town here.
Well, you can get in line. And just know that it's a very long line, because we get that question asked of us very frequently, well over 5,000 emails a month.
Wow.
And if you're serious about it, you'd have to sort of convince us on a couple of things: that the house was historic, worthy of a renovation, had a good story to tell for our viewers, because as you guys might imagine, there's plenty of old houses that need fixing up. There's no shortage of those. What we're looking for are houses with character, stories to tell, things that we haven't done in the past season or two. You know, we've been at it for 40 years, so we're looking for something new and a new angle. And we love homeowners who have got a great appreciation for old homes and craftsmanship. You know, people who are willing to, you know, pay the price to get it done correctly. So if you fit those criteria, you can stand in line.
I'll see what I can do. Is there a holy grail out there for you, sort of a type of house that you've been looking for personally that you just love to do and get on the show?
There isn't, actually. You know, I thought I had a favorite style many years ago, which was Victorian, and in particular, I liked the Queen Anne. Ended up being one that I bought for myself as a fixer-upper, my wife's in my first house. I quickly fell in love with the shingle style, and in my job, it's almost endless, the sort of number of houses that I get to go into and the styles, and it really sort of depends on where you are and what your mood is. Yesterday, we were filming in a home that we renovated 13 years ago. We were doing a retrospective. The original house was a Bauhaus style that came, you know, around the World War II era, modern in its influence. And when we got there, it was terrible, and I was not a fan of the modern style. By the time we had finished it and sort of took away a little bit of the Bauhaus influence and added some sort of Frank Lloyd Wright influence, it was one of the favorite houses that I've ever worked on. And one, a house that I would, if I had the cash, I'd pay any amount of money to live in. And I never would have thought I'd say that about a modern house. So I guess I've learned to go from loving a style to having a very open mind and realizing that there's a lot of styles that can work really well.
Kevin, let me ask you a question I get here a lot. Are old houses better built than new ones?
That is a great question. I hear that a lot, too. I think I know my compatriots on the show ascribe to that, and I think I did for a while, but I've sort of come around, and I've got a new theory, and it is this. In 2015, as you go out there looking for houses, and you poke around some of the newer ones, let's say built in the 70s or the 80s or the 90s, and then you go around and look at the ones that were built in the 1890s or the 1900s, I think you're going to feel like, wow, these older houses were built with better materials and a higher level of craftsmanship. And that may be true, but I think the thing that people miss is this idea, I'm going to misappropriate a term I learned in business school to this theory here, which is survivor bias. The homes built in 1890 that are still around today were the pick of the litter. They were the cream of the crop. And there were a lot of homes built in 1890 that weren't great houses. And guess what? They're no longer here. So it's an ever-evolving mix of housing stock, and neighborhoods come and go. And I think the older homes that are still here today are probably still here today because they were superior. And it's a little bit of a false idea to compare every house built in the 80s or 90s, which had not been torn down yet, to just that's the one that have survived from the late 1800s or early 1900s. So that's kind of my deconstruction of that argument, saying that, well, no, I don't necessarily think that is the case. And I could go further on it and tell you that today we can build a house that performs way better than any home ever conceived of in 1800 or 1900. And if you just think about simple things like insulation and high efficiency HVAC equipment and indoor air quality and alternative energy and, you know, roofing materials and houses that don't leak air or water, I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
Right.
So I think it's a little bit more complicated than just saying, the good old days.
Yeah, right. Well, let me ask you about the landscape of television, home and garden. When this old house started, it was the only game in town. And 40 years later, it's a different landscape altogether. You can't surf without running into a home improvement show. Is there a temptation to change the formula of this old house, to add drama to the show? Or are you happy with the format given all the competitors out there?
I would say definitively we're very happy with the format. In terms of your specific question, you know, adding drama or chasing the other shows that are out there, we have zero interest in that. Our primary focus is talking about craftsmanship. You know, the house is the star. It's very rarely the homeowners. People seem to forget who they are. They don't play a big role in our show. The house does, and the professional trades people do. And we've had good success with that. I think people find enjoyment watching the show, even if they never pick up a tool or fix anything around their own house. I think they like to see the craft performed and the transformation occur. But I also think a lot of people watch our show for instruction. So I think we're a hybrid between entertainment and education, and we love that space. And all of those other shows, we don't even see them as competition. We realize that the stage is similar. The stage is the house. The backdrop is the house. But in their case, there's often a lot about life decisions, about flipping, about making a profit, about finding, about whatever tension may go on between spouses. And that's all fine. The really only similarity between them and us is the fact that the house happens to be the backdrop. There are very few shows out there that will ever spend 8 to 10 minutes, which is a third to a half of our show, diving deep into how to coat crown molding and install it properly. Many people might suggest that's terribly boring, but it's been a formula that's worked really well for us, what we do well, and it's actually what we're passionate about. So it's a crowded field, but I still think that we possess a little corner all to ourselves, and I don't think that's going to change.
What's the biggest mistake that you've ever made or seen made while working on a project?
In terms of category of mistake, it has always been the combination of sort of rushing through it and underestimating what was required. When I've ever done things personally, my own work, which I don't do a ton. I mean, I fixed up my first house. That was many years ago, and now it's more sort of handyman projects around the house. But I find that I'm always kind of trapped in this. I need to get it done. I want to get it done. I'm excited to start it, and then halfway through it, I'm really excited to finish it. And I start, like, cutting corners. And not always cutting corners in terms of material or technique, but many times I've said, I should get a piece of paper and draw out the next 5 steps so I really know what I want, nail those measurements, and I just try to wing it, and you get to the end of the line, and you're like, oh, man, this doesn't work. So that's a mistake that I often make. In terms of, you know, the broader picture beyond my own experience, you know, the mistakes seem to be fairly technical, and it would be kind of a deep dive to explain them, but normally it's really sort of when we try to waterproof a house or air seal a house, there's a lot of places you can go wrong. You can stuff walls full of various types of insulation and think you're doing good by the house, but end up really doing bad by the house because you trap moisture in the wrong place, don't provide proper ventilation, you cook a roof or the underside of a roof and cause long-term damage, damage that will never be seen, you know, even within a few years of the work, but rears its head 5, 10 years later. And we've learned a lot in the building trades. You know, as the building science has introduced new techniques and materials, there have been lots of failures along the way where those techniques and materials have been implemented just a little bit incorrectly with long-term damage. And I think, you know, the trade is learning, and that's a good thing, and they're embracing new technologies, which is a good thing. And it's that sort of typical cycle of experiment, try, and readjust.
Kevin, do you do much work on your own house now that you're on the show, or do you just not have time anymore?
I do less by design. I bought The first house that my wife and I bought was a full fixer-upper. We spent 9 years working on it, and it was that typical formula of sort of every night after work and every weekend. We loved it for about six of the years, and then the last 3 years, we're like, we've got to get this thing done. Those are the heydays. We deliberately picked a house after that, an older house, but a house that really didn't need much work because the kids showed up. You know, I bought a house without any children, and you know, many years later, I had three children. And so I realized that every time I was swinging a hammer on my own house, I was trading time with my kids, whose you know, little years go by very quickly. As you guys probably know if you have children. So I, by design, try not to get myself stuck into too many projects. That being said, when I get off the phone with you guys, today is a at-home day. I've been up all morning doing computer work, and when I'm done with you, I go out to the garage, and I'm going to build two mug kitchens, which is a kind of a crazy term, but a local elementary school has asked us to build them some stuff for the playground. I happily volunteered, and that's my project for the weekend with the kids. And so I'll be out there, you know, taking one by and two by stock and trimming it all up and putting it together for some outdoor tables.
Nice. Let's talk about your background for a moment. You had mentioned earlier going to business school. I understand that you went from banking to hosting this old house. How in the world does that happen?
It doesn't happen often, and it was completely serendipitous for me. The short story is, I grew up as a huge fan of the show, and so when I was looking to buy my first house with my wife, Kathleen, we wanted a fixer-upper. She loved doing that stuff. I loved doing that stuff. And we were sort of, you know, not only looking for a deal, let's buy a place that's kind of run down that we could afford but make beautiful, but also I really did want to kind of learn and practice all those things that I'd watched on the show growing up. That got us in pretty deep and over our head pretty quickly. And so we ended up writing the This Old House magazine for some help on a technical historical issue. And unbeknownst to us, they were producing the first year of what is now our sister show, Ask This Old House, and the concept of that show, as you guys know, is instead of a big full-year renovation and the dream, this is sort of the same guys going out answering homeowners' questions and fixing things, you know, in a half a day or a day. So my letter to the magazine picked off by a couple television producers who called up and said, hey, we'd like to come out and film something with you and Tom Silva. I had really no idea what they were talking about because the show wasn't on the air yet, so it didn't quite make sense to me, but when I heard they'd bring Tom Silva to my house, I was like, yeah, bring him, because I got a million questions for that guy. They came out, they filmed, we had a good time, and completely out of the blue, a month later, they called back and said, would you like to be the host of This Old House on our new show, Ask This Old House? I never looked for it. I never planned on it. People ask me, it's my dream job. I'm like, well, I never even, you know, was smart enough to dream for it. So I just got, it's just dumb luck. I literally just fell into it.
Kevin, you're going to be at our home and garden show here. What should people expect from your visit? Do you have a certain topic you talk about?
I do. We are in our 40th season, which we're very proud of. Those 40 years, obviously, long before I started, but we're celebrating our 40th season. We will be premiering the new season in October. So when I come to you folks, it'll be just a little bit before that. And we've got two great projects. So I'm going to be talking about those projects, going to be showing some photos and behind-the-scenes stories for folks. One of the projects is this beautiful bungalow down in Rhode Island near the coast, and the homeowner is also the architect, and he's trying to take an old 1920s house and turn it into a net zero home, a house that will produce enough energy from alternative solar panels to basically supply the entire house with its heating and cooling and domestic water needs. So that's a big challenge, and we'll talk about that and the lessons learned during that one. And then the second project, which I'll be talking about, is a mid-century modern home in Massachusetts, and sort of taking that small, non-elegant box, keeping the style pure and expanding it almost twofold in that renovation. So it'll be a behind-the-scenes sneak peek of the upcoming 40th season, and then also everyone should be encouraged to bring questions about their own homes. I'm happy to, you know, take a shot at answering those. And then we'll do the usual meet and greet, you know, handshakes, photographs, free magazines, that type of stuff.
Kevin, do you know if you or the show have ever worked on a project here in Central Ohio?
We have not for This Old House. I've got a pretty good memory of all the big projects we've done for the Granddaddy Show. I know we have been to Ohio for Ask This Old House. In your particular area there, I couldn't say for sure. But, you know, Ask This Old House has, you know, been to all 50 states already, and we're starting to make the second lap around, and we hit 50 or so cities a year. So there's a pretty good chance we've been in your backyard, and if not, there's a pretty good chance that we'll be there relatively soon.
Excellent. Well, Kevin, thank you so much. We're going to be happy to have you here in our backyard. And again, while you're in town, if you ever want to drop by our house and maybe just pick up a hammer or something, you are always welcome.
Well, I appreciate that invite, and I'm looking forward to being out there with you folks.
All right. Very good. Thanks again. Take care.
Thanks.
Take care.
And thank you all for listening to Life in the 614. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play Music. We hope to have you back next week. Until then, keep enjoying your own life in the 614.